The DWA podcast is recorded live to SD card at the Old Wrigley Building in Santa Cruz, California.
Where am I and where are you?
Can you imagine his head inside his little head?
Egocidal vehiculum.
There's no doubt Corvettes are fast. But
what about the people that are putting their fingers over the license?
Keiichi Tsuchiya. Those cars have such a cute little face, you know? It's like a little salamander or something, you know?
I'm riding dirty right now.
Fight those traffic tickets with Off the Record. Snap a photo of your ticket, answer a few questions, and get matched to an experienced lawyer. That's it. No mailing in your ticket, no showing up in court. Let the pros handle it and keep those points off your record. Use code AWESOME to get 10% off. That's offtherecord.com. Fight those tickets.
We went to Humble C.
Yeah.
And you ordered, what was your first beer you ordered?
First beer I ordered was, so you normally get this Socks and Sandals, which is a hazy IPA. And it's pretty good, right? Like, I think it's like kind of the go-to at Humble C Brewery in Santa
Cruz. Well respected.
Yeah. And then, so I got this other, they have this new.
What is the Socks and Sandals? Is
hazy IPA.
Hazy IPA. Okay. So it's like fruity IPA basically.
Yeah.
So I ordered this new one, which is like a hazy IPA, but it's like the pineapple mango hazy IPA. And it's Socks and Sandals.
So Socks and Sandals mango. And you're like, that sounds pretty good.
You're like, that sounds pretty good. Turns out, I think I'm allergic to mangoes because it was basically burning my throat.
Whoa,
and then
shit.
My mouth was numb and it was just burning my throat like crazy. So it felt like I was drinking like battery acid.
And sometimes when they make those flavored beers, they don't just use like the raw fruit.
That's the thing, because I have mangoes. I get mangoes like smoothies with mango in them all the time and it doesn't affect me. So what I'm thinking is it's a peel, because supposedly that has like the most of the toxins and stuff in it. The acid, I guess, right?
All right.
So I had this thing. It was like, it was really not vibing with me. And I was like, dude, this is like, it hurts. And Dante, who we were with also, or you, I forget you. They're like, it feels spicy. It tastes spicy.
Yeah.
Had this like spice.
And even he was saying that.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to get.
So on the menu earlier in the day, we had seen this drink, which I can't remember what it's called right now.
Milkshake DPA.
Yeah. Double IPA.
Yeah.
DIPA.
Yeah.
Milkshake. And it had milk products in it, almond milk of some kind.
Hmm.
And it sounded delicious. It sounded like a stouty,
like nice, a malty.
Yeah, I thought it would be like, you know, like a good stout where it has that creaminess to it. And it had like, you know, it said chocolate, coconut, like all the, you know, like, yeah, that sounds kind of sick, right?
Yeah.
And then it has some like, it had almond milk in it. But I'm like, that could be good with like a, I don't know. I'm thinking like Old Speckled Hen, how it has that creaminess, you know, and then you added some milk. I don't know.
Boddington's.
Oatmeal stout. Something really creamy and stouty.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that'll help my mouth, like the way I'm feeling, because this like sour stuff is just like not good.
Yeah.
So I ordered this bullshit and
I tried it.
Warren was the first one to try.
Well, yeah, because he hadn't taken a sip yet. I'm like, let me just try it, because I'm probably not going to order one like that. But maybe the worst thing I've ever tasted.
Oh my God.
It's like vomit or something?
Sawdust.
Watered down eggnog.
I mean, I'll say I compare it to like when you throw up in your mouth.
Oh my gosh.
It tasted like that.
It was. So anyways, Lane is just coming off this one beer that basically like put him out. And then I tasted it and I put it down. I'm like, oh, fucking good luck.
And then Dante tried it and maybe Nick or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, everyone unanimously is like, that is disgusting.
That's
dude.
Horrible.
That's so gross. And Warren's like, and then I took a sip and I'm like, yeah, it's pretty bad. And then I took another sip. Warren's like, you're not really going to drink that, are you? And I just kind of kept drinking it.
No, but then later when we left, I saw the glass and it was like over half full still.
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and it was probably like $15 or whatever.
Dude, and I'm so turned off by that place now. I'm just like, ugh.
So tonight we're drinking Modelo, Especial, and Negro Modelo.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're hitting.
The Negro Modelo's, either one, right? They're totally different, but they're just nice, you know? They're
easy drinking.
Easy drinking
too, but these are, hard to.
Too salty for me. I'm not a fan.
Salty?
Yeah, it's like too salty. It's like Tecate,
Tecate. Tecate, it'll do it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like a Modelo is like a classier Tecate.
Yeah, I agree. It totally is. True,
especially the Negro Modelo.
Well, the Negro Modelo's got gold foil.
Dude, McLaren.
Yeah.
It's also like a molasses-y kind of. Yeah. Like a, it's got
it's a dark beer.
It's good, man.
Yeah,
it's
it is good.
I really like this
beer. I think Negro Modelo is my favorite beer.
Oh, there it is.
Boom. There's a Brazilian beer called Jingu. That, I don't know if you've seen it.
I don't really want to talk about it.
So
every time I go to a Mexican restaurant, I get Negro in a glass with a salted rim and lime.
Ooh,
hard to beat.
It's your go-to.
So good, dude.
Yeah, Jingu is similar, but it's like it's weird because you look at it and it's darker. It's like straight up black beer, like totally
stop.
And
I tried.
Okay,
but it's very very smooth. Like it's. You look at it and it's like it should be stouty heavy, but it's really, really light and
light and
yummy.
Light and Jingu. Refreshing.
Jingu, look it up. Yeah.
Anyways,
it's a car podcast, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Something like that.
Welcome to Driving While Awesome. My name is Warren.
I'm Lane.
And I'm Art.
We're back in the studio and we have questions. Do we have answers? That's the question.
We're back in the studio and it feels so good.
It feels nice. Yeah,
reunited.
Real nice.
Our clock is keeping time.
Oh, yeah. That was always kind of all over the place for some reason.
Warren did something.
Well, we were having blackouts. I think I put batteries in it.
That's right. Oh. Backup batteries.
Backup batteries. But I also think we haven't lost power here, maybe. But yeah.
But it would, every time we came here, it would be off.
It's accurate. Do you guys want to do questions?
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
SV Expert says, when your car needs a part, are you full OEM or dealer, or do you only go for the aftermarket brand? I'm more of an original supplier.
Yeah, me too.
Because
so like I'm high-end OEM supplier.
Well,
so like I'll get a Mahle oil filter, not a Porsche one, or I'll get a Man.
Yeah, here's a little secret. Porsche's not making oil filters.
That's very true.
Or spark plugs or control arms or any of that.
They're also not making their Porsche oil.
Oh, that's right. They don't have an oil factory.
No, they don't have a refinery.
They have what's called suppliers. Mm-hmm. And then some of those parts are identical. And when they're sold in a Porsche box, they have the Porsche logo. And when they're not, they scratch the logo out. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference. So if you can track down the supplier, like for Toyota, it's Denso for most of their stuff. Vico, I think, does a lot of Volkswagen. Anyways, there's certain companies that build all their parts. If you can identify who built said part, like, you know, I think AC Delco builds Ferrari alternators.
Yep.
It used to be in Buicks. And so you just got to find that part number and you're good. Save like $1,000.
There's some things for like, I know for Porsches, I've had really bad luck with like the rubber pieces made by like Euro. I think it's Euro, right?
URO.
URO, yeah. Mm-hmm. But like the Porsche stuff's really good.
Yep.
And it just, I mean, it looks the same if you look at it, but it's just... It fits perfect. The Porsche stuff and the Euro stuff is always a little off and doesn't really work.
That could be like a bushing or something, or like.
Or I'm more like rubber trim, like door trim, like the door trim seals, rubber or seals or window seals, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be one that you would go with a Porsche one versus that.
Yeah. Because there isn't like a original supplier. It is a Porsche part.
And the same thing's true for Mercedes. There's like certain gaskets and stuff. I don't know who their supplier is, but we've tried them all, like valve cover gaskets, and the Mercedes brand OE, you know, OEM is the only thing that works and holds up. So yeah, certain parts you do have to stick with it, but it's not that much more expensive. Like you're talking about a $10 difference or something.
Yeah.
For a valve cover gasket set. So, but
that's definitely one of those things. That's like such a, like, it's such a big job. You know, you have to take the head off, all this stuff. You're getting in the head machine.
Valve cover, you said, right?
Or you're saying valve cover?
Valve cover gasket, but you're right.
But head gasket, too.
Same story. Like,
get the best stuff.
Get the best thing you can. Same with timing belt.
Even if it's 100% more expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's going to be like 300 rather than 150.
But only if you know it is better, right? Like in the case you're saying, like, because like.
But I think for that stuff, Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Because if it's identical, but, right? Like the filter thing, it's like the BMW is the same, right? Like it's yeah. they're identical except that it has a BMW box.
For sure.
And like,
for sure.
But you have to know what it is. That's the tricky part. Yeah. And like, you know, Warren has a lot of experience being around shops and managing shops. So you've seen all the different parts come through. And I actually have reached out to Warren. I'm like, what do you think of Miley for this particular part? And he's like, yeah, if it's a Guibo, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like if it's another thing, then you want the one, right?
And it's really strange... what's the word I'm looking for? Prejudice against certain brands
because of experiences.
Experience, yeah. But it's not to say that like maybe the brand made certain parts that I use, but then you're getting a totally different make and model part from the same brand.
Could be,
Could be fine. But yeah, there's certain ones like I don't really want to buy Dorman parts in general unless it's the only option. But they've gotten better. It's just certain things. It's just anything, you know, certain brands turn you off, like whether it's shoes or
I'm just snobby with
pomade.
Dealer receipts. I just like when it says it's an actual BMW dealership for my records.
Does nothing for me.
But Porsche dealership, my Cayenne only gets serviced at the dealer and I get railed with it.
Exactly.
So what? But they have really nice coffee and they
free sandwiches.
And they have and their loaners are amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right. Let's see here. A Blau 993 says 80s and 90s vehicles seem to have a larger percentage of modified examples versus, say, 60s or 70s. Do you think this is up to the age groups generally purchasing these vehicles or something else entirely?
I say shenanigans.
Dude, Datsun 510?
Or
any muscle car?
71 Chevelle or 69 Mustang? Camaro.
66
those,
Mustang?
I would say those 60s and 70s cars are like the most modified cars around.
I agree.
Because here's the thing, like 80s and 90s cars, like what do you... Like if you look at our cars, like say we all have 80s cars.
Yeah.
We're modifying, but we're doing like... What we have upgraded shocks, maybe some suspension parts, some sway bars,
wheels.
Parts, wheels. Yeah. Warren, I mean, we all have different wheels than the car came with. Tires, you know, just stuff like that, some suspension stuff. But like all these muscle car guys, which are 60s and 70s, they're doing like fucking four-wheel disc brake conversions,
engine transmission,
they're doing engine transmissions,
differentials,
everything.
Yeah. Full cooling, upgrades.
Yeah, upgraded radiators, like these big, you know, like carburetors.
And the fact that you can swap so much stuff across platforms.
Headers.
I mean, motors swap all these different, you know, whether it's Mopar or GM. But yeah, I agree with you.
That's like my brother's 64 Falcon. He's getting like a full like kit in it right now, like Fox suspension. And
they're doing brakes.
And he's doing the full like... cross members and stuff, all this crazy like,
and that's like stiffening. The fifth iteration of it, right?
Yeah,
like he's been constantly
and everyone and it seems like everyone we know has that stuff, like John Bullock and the GTO. Marvin has a Viper transmission and a non-original engine. Like if
I mean show me a 60s or 70s car that is completely stock.
It's almost impossible,
especially a muscle
very
car.
Rare it seems like
and that's why those are worth more, right?
Yeah,
perfect preserved one. SF Production Gabe says, the DWA crew has spent a cold winter perfecting the ultimate recipe for beef jerky, and now it is the time to come up with a name and a livery. What will you name your jerky brand, and what kind of graphics and colors will be used in the packaging and in the marketing materials? Bonus question, during what TV program will you buy your commercial advertising slots?
So this is a cop out. It's super easy. And I don't understand why to this day we have not tried this or even looked it up. There is such a thing as Cajun jerky. Sense of occasion, right? Okay, sense of occasion. Listen to this. It sounds fucking amazing.
Alligator.
Ingredients. Beef top round, water, brown sugar, soy sauce, pineapple juice, celery salt, smoked paprika, cayenne pepper, liquid smoke, thyme, onion, white pepper, black pepper, and red crushed chili pepper.
Yeah,
sounds incredible.
I'm in.
And if you look at it, it's so fucking dry, dude. It's like, it's basically our dream jerky, and we've never tried it.
Look. Who makes that?
Whoa.
What is that brand?
There's a bunch of different ones, but they're all around, they're similar recipes.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some from the South. There's one that's like, it's some generic, like Cajun, it's called Cajun beef jerky from Indiana, but like the recipe is always based around those things. So Mike, it's easy sense of, it would be sense, like the smell of a Cajun. And
yes,
I mean, Lane's the livery guy, but I was thinking little, like almost like confetti, but little chili peppers.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Little chili peppers. Like different colors.
M-Rain.
Different colors.
Different colors.
Yeah.
All right. We got it. Art just came up with it.
I think we should put our ads on Bassmasters.
Fishmasters. I don't think that's on anymore.
Yeah, you're probably right.
How about that's Motor
after
Carson, Week?
That's before or after Carson Daly?
Oh, way after.
It was after?
Yeah. 2 a.m.
Carson was after Conan, then Fishmasters.
Yep. And I think Fishmasters would also come on after SNL.
And it was also regional.
Oh, it was on after SNL.
Yeah.
Also regional, right?
I guess.
I don't know.
I think it was out of... We had this conversation before.
Is that a SLO?
So I think they were out of SLO or something.
Yeah, San Luis Obispo. Anyways, look it up.
Yeah.
Fishmasters.
That was amazing.
But...
imagine how bad that would look now.
We're talking like high eight.
It was horrible.
I mean, it looked bad then, but imagine watching it now.
Horrible.
Like, we're like, this was on normal, like...
How did it get made?
Like NBC, dude.
Let's just talk about like the budget and who was paying for it and getting it on TV.
What did they even do? I don't remember. They just went fishing and like drank beers or something?
I had little skits and stuff. We obviously aren't big Fishmasters fans.
No, I would watch it, dude.
I know, because you thought you were
late.
Cool.
No, because I would just, you're up late.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You thought you were cool for being awake.
You only had like 20 channels
or
whatever.
Guess what? Next day, you're like, guess what I watched last night? Yeah. Like, what, Conan? You're like, Fishmasters. Like,
damn.
Well, I would root for a Motor Week placement somewhere. Maybe a...
Motor Week's good. What about a travel show? Like,
I don't know any good travel shows these days.
Nat Geo.
Well, the problem is like we don't watch shows on television with commercials.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
Yeah. Unless it's
World
Hulu.
Rally Championship, Red Bull TV. Brought to you by Sense of Occasion Jerky.
I like it.
All right. Angry Bird GTI.
We have Crofty talk about it on F1.
Oh. I want Varun.
I want Varun Kanjuk.
All right. Angry Bird GTI says, at what point is an aggressive street alignment too much for street use? He says on his GTI, the rear camber's wreaking havoc on the inside of my rear tires, even rotating every 2,500 miles. Love the way the car drives, but getting tired of road noise from choppy tires.
Sounds like you found that limit.
And he says, see you guys in a few days. Yes, Chris, we'll see you in a few days.
Chris, you found that limit. And do you really need that camber out there in Vegas or no, in Arizona?
That's the thing. It sounds like, and then here's the thing that clearly proves that he's not making use of it.
Yeah, because in the turn, it's going to flatten out.
And
right?
It's not even, and that's the thing is that camber, if you're driving it and throwing the car around, it doesn't really wear the tires that much. It's the toe, because that's like, you know, if it's towed in or towed out too much, that's where you really fuck up the wear. So I'm guessing that he's just driving on a grid in Phoenix.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, because he lives in Phoenix. He commutes to work.
That's the thing. It's like you have to compromise, right? So maybe dial it back a little bit and still when you do go play, like it's not terrible, but it's not ideal. I don't know what that setup is. But yeah. I'm sure there's information out there. But
stock setup's not too bad.
Yeah, it's more of a mental thing, knowing that he has like the optimal like handling setup, right?
Exactly. I mean, it does rip around a turn with that setup, but yeah. Tires are expensive.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah, it's like
sacrifices your ride that much.
Yeah.
And what is your use case for that vehicle? Like, I'm guessing primarily it's like driving to work.
Yeah. That's your answer. Ben Rogan says, taking a 4-day weekend. Any good books y'all have read lately?
Who are you talking to?
Dude, I only read when I fly or when I go on vacation, and I haven't been doing either
really
very much.
You read, right? You just listen to books on tape.
I've never listened to books on tape. I don't know where that philosophy came from.
Really?
Where did that come from?
I thought you said you were listening.
Yeah, no, that's never been a thing. Look,
it definitely has been.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
Never.
Don't show me. Why is he so mad about it?
Because it's bullshit. Because I really enjoy reading. It's like a very... It's like an awesome thing.
You were listening to a book on our flight once.
No, I have not.
Like, were you reading a real book?
Yes. Well, no. I rarely read a physical book. That's
not a thing.
You're reading an e-book, I mean?
Nope. E-books, yes, always. iBooks is my
Why
thing.
Why are you yelling at us, dude?
Because, ooh, shit.
Why
because
are you so mad?
Now he's going on Audible and buying literally. Books.
I'm buying books right now on Amazon.
I don't even know. Why are you yelling,
because
dude?
Reading is like such
an
awesome thing.
Why are you yelling
thing.
At me? Yeah. I remember you were reading... In quotes, listening.
When have I ever listened to a fucking book?
It was like a book about.
It was about Adrian Newey.
Yeah, yeah. It was like.
I never listened.
Did you read it?
Yes,
with your eyes or with your ears.
I have it in my phone, and it's on iBooks, and it's not an Audible book. I don't even have an Audible account.
Did you listen to it?
No, I don't listen to it. I read it.
You read it with your ears.
No,
I think you watched a YouTube video of someone reading the book.
Oh,
and it was silent though. There was no actual.
It was just like
them in a nook.
Like you drop like some, you eat, have some shrooms
and
some
chill
like,
beats. Whoa.
So I don't like reading, but I would like to read that book with my ears.
Oh, okay. Which one?
That Adrian Newey one.
That's a really good one.
Actually, I want to read the Mansell one with my ears, but I don't know where to get that.
So the last book I read, which was a long ass time ago, and I do recommend, is I actually had to look at my iBooks because I haven't read in a while.
His earbooks.
My earbooks.
Not his iBooks.
Yeah. not my iBooks.
Yeah, you don't read those your iBooks.
So Lane really likes The Art of Racing in the Rain, so check that one out.
go watch that piece of trash.
Good, good.
Report back to me.
But it was Aussie Grit was the last book I read, okay. And that's Mark Weber's book. The other book that's really, really awesome is Mechanic's Tale by Steve Matchett, and it's a book about basically a pit mechanic who was...
It's a fiction?
No, it's a nonfiction. Mechanic's Tale is Steve Matchett was a pit mechanic.
I know who Steve Matchett is.
In the 80s and 90s and into the early 2000s. I think it's been a while, but and it's awesome because he tells you about everything that he experienced and all the drivers.
An announcer or a pundit.
It's called Mechanic's Tale.
The Mechanic's Tale.
Does he ever get it trapped in a door or anything?
He does not get trapped in a door.
That would hurt.
Tail. Yeah.
That hurt.
I've been reading, his tail, as you're saying. Yeah.
David Chang's memoir, Eat a Peach. If you're into restaurateurs and stories of said,
who narrates it? Like, because you listen to it, right?
No, so it's like it's an iBook. I read it with my eyes.
British accent, or do you go? What do you go for?
some parts.
He has a woman read it.
It's good. It's good because he constantly is saying like I shouldn't be writing a book, and there's a lot of footnotes about. Like he'll make a statement, then he'll be like, "I realize this sounds like a total douche kind of thing," you know, like down on the bottom and stuff.
Dude, so I'm sure you guys have heard it. Like, there's like the TikTok narrating voice. It's like some weird kind of semi-robotic one. It's the worst.
It's YouTube too.
So I want to find that to use it for shit. Like, where it's she's so like, bad. Yeah.
Oh my god. It's
like,
I can't do it.
It's like this. It's like. I gave my dog treats, and this is what happened.
Yeah.
I want to punch that person.
My favorite ones, though, are in Spanish because it reads like totally wrong. It's so good. It's like,
that's terrible.
Yo quiero taco hoy. You know, it's really good. I got to find it.
Bobby Reed says, what's your favorite factory airbag equipped steering wheel? Oh, that's a good question.
Like aesthetically or ergonomically or both?
Aesthetic. No, I think the way the airbag works.
Well,
which one is
Well, the reason I ask is that the best feeling, and Lane's probably built one or fucking at least, is a 458. It's a flat bottom, but it feels really good.
Like 458?
The 458 wheel is really nice.
Do you like how that airbag seems like not well integrated? It's almost like tacked onto the
middle? The thing is, that's what I'm saying. Like ergonomically versus like aesthetically, because aesthetically, like the S2000 steering wheel is a really good execution of an airbag wheel.
360.
I'm trying to think what the
360
looks
like. I'm pretty sure it's an airbag wheel. It's like a little triangle.
See what it looks like.
It's because it's a metal Momo wheel with just like a pad on it. If I'm thinking, I think that's the correct one.
What about SLR McLaren? Can you picture that? It's just a simple three spoke.
Oh, 360 is nice.
Yeah, 360
is
rad.
So 360 is nice. Another one that I really like is the EK9 Civic. So the Civic Type R, you know, the little hatchback that we like. That has a really cool airbag steering wheel too.
The first picture that comes up is a rendering I did of one.
Oh, whoa. Shit! No way. Oh, with like with Alcantara's.
Yeah.
So this is the one that I was talking about. This is the EK9 steering wheel. That's an airbag wheel. Oh, it's similar to the 360. See?
Yep. Oh yeah.
That's
really
a cool
good.
One too.
It's a good looking wheel. Do you know what's not good is a 964.
You know what's not good is a 1992 Ford Taurus, which is also what was used in Aston Martins in the 90s. Have you seen that? It's like just like a rectangle with like it's like a pillowy rectangle. Yeah,
that's kind of what the 964
so bad.
Like.
So SLR wheel, I hate that. I don't like that wheel at all.
Let me see.
That's just like every Mercedes of that era.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
And I've recovered those. It's not with those.
The buttons are the same, but the actual shape is different.
It's pretty much the same.
Oh, it's just a round wheel. A round wheel, yeah.
Oh, the shape. Yeah, it's
most wheels are round.
I mean, what's different about it?
Well, it's slightly flat on the bottom, right? Like in like that's
no,
the
that's
one.
A is that the one we're talking one? About? No, that's not real.
That's not real.
It's just normal. It's like this, dude. It's just straight up like.
And that's
subtle differences.
It's so subtle, dude. Because yeah. I remember we used to buy the like we would buy other wheels and, anyways, I don't know. It's not. 997 wheels are all right, but I always hate it that the airbag, you can see the little line, dude. Yep. It has this, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
It has this little, like,
it's really
the,
bad.
It's the line where it breaks away, sure, and sure. It's like
they didn't make it uniform.
The Caymans are the
same.
It's
not uniform. It's so annoying to me, dude, but it's a really good wheel, and the pad is really small. It's like a little round. It's a good-looking wheel overall.
Gross wheel is a 996. Triangle.
996 triangle
airbag with the buttons on the side. They just look so cheap.
Buttons.
Yeah.
They don't have buttons.
I think they do.
No.
No?
No. There's no buttons on 996 wheels.
Oh, I think I'm thinking of a
I think Cayenne. You're talking about Cayenne. Yeah. Cayenne's the one you're talking about. 996 wheels, fine. It's like pretty, it's not great, but it's not anything.
Like the Arcayenne looks the same like a
Cayenne has all the buttons and they peel
exactly.
Like the BMWs.
Oh, for like the first gen? Yeah, it's got that triangular kind of, and the buttons are on the bottom, right?
Yeah. That, and then 997 triangle wheels or the non-sport wheels are kind of ugly.
Look how gross that is.
Yeah, that's
yeah. I think sucks.
That sucks.
I'm looking at a Cayenne.
Yeah, mine on
Cayenne
our
wheel.
Gen looks just like a 911. It's
the
same wheel.
Your wheel's the same. It is the same as a 911.
It's the same, right? Yeah, it's nice. And the paddles are the same. And they're metal. Yeah.
All the Porsches were the same in the era of Art's car.
Yeah.
So like you could just like swap
Panamera
all the
and all that
across the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we came up with some. Mm-hmm. I mean, 964 sucks. E30 M3 sucks. E36 M3.
Yeah.
That's the same style with the big pad, like before they really like could make them small.
So there's two versions. The later ones look like the Z3M coupe, like the one that I had, and it's like a really big triangle.
Yeah.
E39 M5 looked the same. It was like a really big triangle. But yeah, I feel like G bodies are kind of ugly. It's just a square, like a rectangle. It's kind of, those are not airbag though. Never mind.
No,
it's
not.
They might. They were airbags.
I'm trying to remember what the 964 were. Same as 944s. Yeah,
So 964 is more puffy. It's like more rounded.
What is the 944 S2? Yeah. Right. That's an airbag wheel too.
That is, and 911s. Porsche was the first company to have standard dual airbags in their cars.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought Mercedes.
It was like 1987, I believe.
Dang. I'm surprised S-Class didn't beat them to it.
Yeah, I know. Usually,
you think Volvo?
Usually, Volvo and Mercedes led all that kind of stuff.
Right. all right. While you're looking for that, our Richard Chen asks, looks like the end of knobs and buttons on dashboard controls has arrived before the end of internal combustion.
I think it's going to go back.
What is the zenith of tactile analog dashboards?
Early 2000s Audis.
Mm.
Yeah.
They have the best feel. Buttons. Yeah. They have, and their placement is good and they feel so nice. They have a very nice click.
The touch, the feel of Audi. Cotton.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say this for a tactile feel, but for just a lot of buttons and kind of that. A button for every use is Panamera. The first gen 3000 GT VR4.
Oh, I can't picture it.
It's got a ton of buttons.
It has all the shit behind the wheel. And
it's got a graphic for the climate, but there's buttons associated with it.
But is that the best? The
no, it's not the best. It's just a matter of like they basically threw as many buttons at it as they could.
I mean, it's like kind of a cliche answer, but I think the ultimate, like the best version of it is the Mark 7.1 GTI.
Mm.
It like it's or that era of Volkswagen.
Yeah, but tactileness. I mean, I think you go back to a W126 and all those buttons you have to press and like the clicking and.
But dude, you didn't have button. It was like three round things. That's all you had.
That's the best user interface.
I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Did he say tactileness?
Yeah, he said.
I mean, if it's tactileness, Audi wins.
What's
all,
the zenith of tactile analog dashboard?
Yeah, and I mean, and it is, and I say early 2000s, but it started in the mid 90s, basically, right? Mid 90s to early 2000s.
I think. Yeah, I mean, that, you really noticed it with the introduction of the A4.
Yeah.
So like B5. 97, no, 96, right?
I would still argue those are cheap feeling buttons compared to anything prior.
Hell no.
In a W126, when you're snapping those buttons and clicking things,
no, they feel
those are little black plastic fucking with a red dot on them.
They feel so good, dude. That click is so strong.
Yeah, it's strong. That's a good point. Yeah, because like with Mercedes, it's like it's a good click, but or not a click. It's like a push. It's like it has a lot of travel almost. Yeah. Right? Where it's like,
and that's what my BMW, like the E36. The window button is not a good feeling because you have to push it so far and hard. Mm. Where the Audi had this like perfect, tight, everything was about tactile feel, dude. It was like, and the knobs like had no play. It's kind of like Gordon Murray talks about. Yeah. They had no play. They just had this perfect little click, click, click.
Yeah.
And a lot of other cars, you would like go to move them and you'd do like five clicks and I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind. Can't think of anything else. I mean, yeah, and that's the W124s, W126s are cool and they're good, but it's a different. It's not as good for me as you're. Nah. Like, it's definitely tight. Those Audis have such a nice tight, positive feel, like to all of it, and the layout is cool. It's a clean. Mm-hmm. All the tolerances too. If you look at the space between the buns, dude, is really tight.
No tolerance. Yeah,
it's really tight. It's a little tiny line.
So small.
Yeah.
Brickyard Garage asks, how long will it be until Art spills his first beer after returning to the studio?
Oh, announcement. I wasn't here for it.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
What happened, Art?
It's not your fault. I pulled a beer out of the fridge that had been there probably
before the podcast today.
Before the podcast, before we started recording.
Probably been there for a year and a half.
Yeah, and it was, and we have a small little fridge, and it was under the freezer. Like, and it was
glass bottle,
I guess it had been frozen. And I just popped it open, put it on the coaster, and it immediately overflowed and spilled all over the table.
What was your reaction to the spilling?
The reaction was not to clean it up, was to take a picture to show Lane that I had failed and to answer his question. So
how long did it take? One episode plus the beginning of a second.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, well, that adds up. That's right on your average, I think.
Yeah.
All right, last question here. Piston Drift asks, when and where is the next DWA rally? More specifically, when do I need to have my car fully functional? Good question.
Where?
Very good question. I'm going to say May. May? A lot of irons in the fire right now, folks. That's all I can tell you.
Early-ish May, maybe not the end of May.
We're not sure, but there's so many things
May-ish
up in the air for our schedules that we can't commit to anything right now. But just know that there are things in the works, and we'd love to have you come. So
and routes are there, and
routes are there.
It's just a matter of
once Art can give us a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One second, a little.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. What song was that?
All right, one more question. Let's see here. Rick Navarro says, after this weekend's DWA Morning Motors, which one of the two crazy rat rods that appeared is your favorite and why? Good question.
So he's talking about the chop top and the Blastoline one.
No, I think he's talking about the Thunderbird.
Oh,
I thought
crazy.
He was talking about the chop top thing.
I mean, the chop top and the Thunderbird, but not the rat rod.
Not Blast the Last.
Oh, I thought he was talking about. Yeah,
that's not a rat rod. That's like
I forgot about
full blown custom.
The Thunderbird.
Yeah, because those both kind of park next to each other. I don't know
bullet,
if they're friends.
But that one wasn't a rat rod either. It's super
it was like
clean
a hot
paint.
Rod, like a crazy custom hot rod.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which one do you prefer? Not the Blastoline. That's in a whole
different. Okay. So for reference, there's a 60s T-Bird, so the big T-Bird coupe, and it was like five different colors. and
like ratty, sanded through paint,
Hydros,
right?
No rear window, cracked windshield,
bullets in the windshield.
Well, it looked like bullet holes.
Okay, bullet holes. Yeah. No hood.
No hood. Wire wheels.
And it had hydros
or air. Mm-hmm. Was that hydros?
Something.
Yeah, well, when he was driving through, he was like putting one corner down and everything. Yeah, so
I think it might have been air. But anyways, beside the point.
Isn't air and hydros the same thing?
No.
I guess they
can you fuck with stuff independently at each corner with air? I guess that's the main thing, right?
You can.
So what's the difference?
I don't know exactly.
Just the mechanism.
Like I think air fluid reacts a lot slower. Air. Like you can't do the jumps and shit with air.
So I couldn't tell. But when he was going through the parking lot, he was in like one side down, then the other, then the front. Like
got it. Thing.
And then next to that was like a.
it was like a Model T that had been, or a Model A maybe, but
totally chopped
doesn't even begin to explain it. It's like it was channeled and chopped so low that the roof was about as high as your waist.
The chop was made it where the window is like a 6-inch slit.
Yep.
And the side windows and the back window. The back window is probably less than 6 inches.
Do you have good photos of it?
I have one picture.
You should post it. Yeah, because I don't think I took any. Yeah. It's crazy.
Croc got a good video of it driving it. I've seen it. It's been at Capitola all the time. So I've seen it a few times. But he had a picture or a video of it driving in, and you were standing there.
And it's so like, you can see like reference. That's for reference. Yeah.
It's insanely low.
Yeah.
And it's got a huge motor and, you know, the slick or not slicks, but they're like, I don't know. The rear wheels are like
375.
It's so funny hearing us talk about this. It's like we don't know nothing about cars.
I know.
We don't know anything about these cars. It's been to our show before multiple times. Yeah. But
I think it's been at least once. Yeah. But then it has no fenders on the rear tires, so they're the huge aggressive performance tires.
They're like 335s
wider
at least, yeah
or more. And then it has this crazy paint job, and it's like
it's kind of like gold digger
black with like little like
grave digger style, right?
With it's little like, eyelashes everywhere of green.
I like gold digger.
Gold digger.
Black with green eyelashes. And
is that what it is? Eyelashes?
You know, like that shape, basically, like a half flames. Moon.
I thought it was flames too.
It's like half moon shapes.
Oh, trippy.
Everywhere in green over a black paint job. It looks like some of the Munsters would, you know, it looks like one of the old,
what's his name, Barris?
Not Barris. You know the guy I'm talking about. Who made all like the.
Ed. Rad Fink? No.
Oh, he made all the. Awful cars, the Hollywood cars.
Isn't Barris?
Oh, it is George Barris,
right?
No, is it?
Oh, we're so anyways, dumb. I know. I'd prefer that thing. For sure, that's a more finished, complete, interesting car for me to look at. It's probably a lot more involved in building it. It's not as rat rod at all. In most ways, it's
so he might. Was there custom. Another rat rod? Like, was there one of those? Because there was the 2002, right? But then, what about the lowrider dudes that showed up last time? Did they bring anything? Because there was that Biscayne or Impala or something that came over last time.
No, wasn't.
I wouldn't call this one a rat rod either. No, just because it's that's so finished.
Saying. That black one is not a rat.
Yeah.
Rod. Yeah. But as far as like hot rod style,
as far as the like a car, I could almost see like spraying the Thunderbird a single color. And driving it more than I could see driving this, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, would you ever see yourself like taking that thing out of your garage?
But this, when you do, it's like the most unbelievable looking
would
thing
you
driving
want
down
to,
the
though?
Road. No, I wouldn't want either of them.
But wouldn't you rather have a big T-Bird?
Probably. I could actually have people in it. And
I feel like you have to own it for what it is, though, right? Like, we wouldn't be able to fuck with it.
That thing's like a work of art, and you're only driving it to Cars and Coffee, really.
Yeah. I think I'd rather. It's weird, but I think I'd rather have the T-Bird.
Because the 2002 is a total rat rod.
That's
more of a rat rod than this thing we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think that has an LS9. So
turbo.
Exactly.
Twin turbo, right?
They're both insane, dude. I don't know. They're just so not like any of us. Like, they're not our style, right? So it's kind of hard to...
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
Our
I don't
use
know.
Case is so narrow.
Anyways, yeah. We didn't answer that question at all.
I'll take it's the Vaseline special.
Vaseline's crazy, too.
It's like, unreal.
I'd be like, where do you put that? It wouldn't fit at my house anywhere.
No.
It wouldn't even fit on the street. It would take up my whole street.
At your house. Jesus. Yeah. The narrowest street in Santa Cruz.
Can you pull it into my driveway? No. My garage.
Yeah. No. It's a different thing. All right. Well, so speaking of Morning Motors, we had a Morning Motors last weekend, and it was back to normal levels, a full, completely full lot, but not overflowing and bursting at the seams.
A little overflowing, which is nice.
Yeah, but not like crazy. And that was partly because there was other events like Berkeley Cars and Coffee. If you haven't checked that out, you should go check out Alex's show sometime. And I think there's a 2002 thing and some other stuff, so that's all good.
It also is due to the fact that I made one post 1 week before and no others.
Yeah, and that was by design.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, anyways, it was perfect. It was a great good time, and the coffee shop was open and people were having a good cruise around. Uh-huh. See some old faces, some new ones.
Yeah, it's nice. It didn't like last time, it was feeling a little hectic. Like this time, it was relaxing. It was nice, yeah. Chill vibe.
For sure.
And like last time, yeah, there was good energy, but it was hectic.
It was just,
everyone said last time when there's like so many people are like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And crazy.
It was just too many people.
It was too many people. Yeah. And this was nice. Yeah. It was like, it was full enough.
Yep.
And it was a good show. Good,
cool stuff. Some standouts for me was that, what was that green car? The little Japanese car.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Sylvia?
Yeah.
It's been a cool show before.
I think I've seen it before, but
those are awesome.
Originally, it was parked like where I was this time. Back like I don't know, last year or something.
So what is that?
That's
a first gen.
Yeah, it's not a first. Is it a first gen? I think it might be a first gen.
It's really good. It looks like a little Nissan. I mean, it looks like a little Lancia Fulvia or something.
Yeah, it is a first gen. Fuck, is it SP130 or something like that? Let me look it up. But it's
and good color, metallic light, like a medium light metallic green. And it's a. Yeah, it's really good looking car. Well, very Nissan cool. Fulvia, right?
Super cool. And I mean, how many of those are out there? It's a rare car.
Mm-hmm.
Super rare.
And they're so tiny too. Like you, if you stand next to that too, you realize how small it is.
Yeah. Super tiny. What else? There was a 812 Ferrari GT.
Super fast.
I don't know if they call those the
CSP311. That's the code for that one for people.
Was it super fast? No, I thought it was super fast.
It was super fast, but the top goes down. Is that still a super fast? Or do they call it a GT? Anyways,
I think it's
a Barchetta.
At any rate, 700 horsepower V12 Ferrari, which is
There was a early Ford Explorer Sport with a 5-speed manual.
Wasn't that one?
It was like really nice paint, like condition.
See that on Craigslist or something?
That was.
Yeah.
So one, you just bought it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like Kill Your Vespa, I think is Instagram.
Okay.
I think he has a Vespa and he lives in Santa Cruz. But yeah, he just bought that. I had talked to him. I like gave him props when he pulled in it. And he's like, oh, I'm glad someone appreciates it or something. And then Art was talking to him at the end of the day.
Yeah, that was rad. Yeah,
there was a Dodge D50.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is rad Mitsubishi bikes on top.
Yeah.
The headlights were lame. But yeah, the plate was amazing. It was an original blue plate from the 80s, and it was rad box.
That's awesome.
So awesome.
Yeah, I think it was like just PDR away from being really nice. It was good track.
That was cool.
That was gold.
Yeah.
And then Mel brought his newly acquired E34 M5.
That was great to see.
Which is a really nice car, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Yeah,
by the way, that is the car that I left a note on 6 months ago that I had mentioned on the show. So I'm glad that it went to someone in the community, and he's super amped. Like, he was looking for one for a while, and, you know, I wasn't going to buy it, like, you know, after, you know, for multiple reasons. And so I'm glad it worked out. And it had question marks, right? It was a car that appeared to be really nice. The owner hadn't been like on the road for a few years, and the owner owns a local shop that basically just works on tune-ups.
Yep.
Random, and And yeah, it worked out really well. Like, it passed smog and flying colors. Like, it's actually super straight. The paint's really nice. It's an honest driver. You know, it's not pristine or anything, but
that's cool.
But yeah, so he's going to slowly kind of start to restore it. And and he's going to be selling his E24 that he has, his 633 CSI, probably on Rad for Sale. And this is going to be his like daily dad mobile.
Yeah, it's funny he said he piled the family in it, his wife and kid, and then a mother-in-law, and they went up to Alice's or something, and a mother-in-law puked.
Yeah, they went up. He took her up Page Mill.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's gnarly.
Yeah.
He was so stoked, though. He's so stoked. He's like, dude, I have a real M car. Like,
yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
did you guys see the CT5 Blackwing?
I did.
Dude, it's really small.
I know.
It's like, small. When I first rolled in, everyone was like, oh, that's a CT4. And I'm like, dude, look at the badge. And we walked over. Yeah. It's great. It's a really nice size.
No, like when it rolled in, I was like, oh, CT5 Blackwing. They're like, no, I think that's a CT4. And I'm like, no, it has the ugly rear window.
Because that one has the C-pillar thing.
C-pillar.
Yeah.
And then it obviously it was
CT5. And Lane's like, it's a fucking piece of shit. Look at the plastic piece of crap and grills and the paint.
It is.
It was black, so it hit it well. Like,
yeah, that's, it's... It's a bummer because I don't like it either. Do you know what he's talking about? Yeah. Like that C-pillar has that little taper.
A lot of cars.
It's
I know. Thing, they're all doing it. And Hondas are ugly too. Like,
yeah, it's lame. But it is a good proportions.
Besides that, it's a good, decent.
I love the stock wheel fitment too. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Like, it's really aggressive, flush, dude. Aggressive, good ride height. And, you know, obviously one of the best driving cars out there right now. Like, everyone raves about them. And I mean, I was really impressed
best
by the
driving
size. I was like, I thought like it's nice. We like smaller cars, right? And I was thinking CT5, M5 competitor, big car, right? But it's actually like
feels way smaller than M5, huh?
It almost looks smaller.
But Cadillac
than
always does that. They're like this weird medium size, like in between car.
Dude, I don't even. What does the CT4 look like? What is that? What size is that?
I don't think it's even that much smaller, dude. That's the thing. Yeah. I don't think it's smaller.
It's
at
just
all,
the drivetrain.
Yeah. And it has a different
because it's probably
body kind of
dude. I don't know. Like sitting there, it looked like it was even smaller than the new M3. Like
M3 is huge. Dude.
Yeah. So it's a weird.
It's weird a weird one.
Yeah. There was a. Did you guys see that Pontiac GXP? Yes. The black one.
No.
With like lowered on like I think there's stockish wheels, but it was like the cleanest thing ever.
Definitely the first one that's come to Morning Motors.
Yeah.
Do you have it, pictures there?
I know I don't. I have some picture of the hood.
Yeah.
I was just standing
there. Dang, I missed it. Yeah, I didn't see that.
It was just kind of like one of those.
You like blacked out when I drove by.
Oh, it was so impressive.
Because you love those cars so much.
Big fan.
It was hard
Pontiac
for me to concentrate.
It's not the worst looking car on earth.
No, it's not.
It was just one of those things that stood out because you don't see them like nice.
You know who would love that?
You don't see them kind of stance.
Rick Deacon would have lost his mind.
Yeah, Brad would probably love it too.
Yeah.
What about Joe Polo?
Joe would probably like it.
Front wheel drive though. So it's always that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was smitten by the 240 SX S13 chassis, right? But it had all the JDM bits, so it had the JDM front end, and it was so nice. It was a notchback. I mean,
what do those things cost now?
I don't know, dude. Like, it's impossible to find one like
25 grand,
probably.
I like literally like I'll walk by that thing
same
like
here
30 times and not even look.
That same here.
But so many people like Dante's like that's like if I had money like it's a dream like
he
that's
said that to me too and I was
dream
like
car.
Klapman said the
and
same thing.
Klapman said the same. Yeah, Jack Klapman said the
and
same.
And I
thing.
Cannot imagine choosing that over anything German equivalent.
Yeah.
Like for the money dollar for
especially
dollar
for
I just
25k.
That's what I'm saying is
it's
I just
so it's
can't.
It's just because they don't exist, right? That's the thing. Yeah. That's what adds it what makes it so special because they just don't exist. Like every single one has been ratted out like fucking drift car totally destroyed.
I still see them out there but they're usually like high mileage, you know, needs a lot of work.
So there's a grandma that owns one in San Carlos that I see. It's an automatic and like peeling clear coat, like that type of shit you see, right? But this is like a
kick her ass, or what do you want to do?
We should break her ass. But this is like a pristine example, right? With you know, and it's got the right bits too. It's got
something looked wrong though about it.
Cool JDM front.
Did they paint some black trim or something? It looked like something was missing on it.
There was a really nice black VW Bug.
There was. Did it have a coffee maker in it?
It had an espresso machine.
Espresso machine.
On the dash.
Love it.
And then a Steven Cottrell about an E30 M3.
Yeah, that was nice.
There was a, you know me, I'm a huge Corvette guy. There was like a 60s Stingray in, I think, Wimbledon Green.
parked over by the
parked in the fireplace. And that thing was cool because it had those like gold line tires. And so it just looked, I don't know, it looked good.
Yeah. Good backdrop too.
And then
how do you feel about that 993 you posted?
Oh,
it's got like the GT, like the RS/GT2 treatment.
Yeah.
And it's on work wheels.
I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, it's cool for what it is. It's not like my thing, but
I like the wheels. I didn't like the stretch. That's the tire stretch.
Yeah.
But those are there for people.
Wheels are a little too like aggressive maybe, but I don't know. Yeah. It's a cool car. Maybe it's a little too low or something, but
work SP1s.
I don't really love that front air dam on those.
Oh, but
I
also,
I'm not a huge 993 fan in general. So, but yeah, it's cool. It was cool.
There was so have you guys ever talked to the guy that brings the Lotus with a crazy ass shifter?
Yeah, he used to own the Lotus repair place in Scottsdale.
He's the guy that Eric Horton raced.
Oh, he brought that one on the rally once. Yeah. What is the deal with this thing? It's like
his wife.
We have to post a picture of this. It's a fucking transformer. It's like so crazy. It's like
some weird exposed linkage shifter. That's all it is, right?
Yeah, but it's like it's got all this like additional shit behind it. I guess it's just all billet, right? And it's just more. A lot of it is like ornate, right? It's like not even probably functional. Some of it is, but because I'm looking at all the details and like like the cage that it sits in, and then the e-brake is all crazy. I don't necessarily remember the Elise shifters being that bad. I wonder how this shifts.
Did you see
they were good.
AMG GT in matte gray with the good BBS style wheels.
I did see it with the like saddle interior.
It's about as good as you can make one of those look. And it looks pretty good.
I really like those. I'm a big fan.
I'm not
the matte, but I'm a fan of those cars. I like
the matte. Didn't bother me for whatever reason. It was like very looked just like a functional sports car,
work truck or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, work truck.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't bother me.
Huh.
The matte. How about maybe that, it's just the lighting. You know?
NB Miata, the red one. That thing was so nice.
I didn't get a good look at it, but it did look very clean.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Miatas. There was like I took a picture of an NC on the street that was pretty nice.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Like there's a light blue.
Datsun on the street over there.
Did you see that? So that thing was cool. Like a B210 or something?
Oh, that thing was crazy. Yeah. Did you guys see the... Oh yeah, we were talking about the backdated Leaf Green car.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know anything about that car.
Yeah, Shane's car. He was on a rally.
Yeah. That with that car?
Yeah.
Damn, I don't
remember. It was on the Sierra rally, not the Rewind. Or no, it was the Rewind. Sierra Rewind.
Shit. The rally before last.
And he took the grills off to get like more air because he was kind of like having heating problems. So he's from Texas and he drove that thing out from Texas.
Oh, he lives
here in Santa Cruz.
I remember now. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there with his dad. His dad was visiting from Texas.
That's cool. Because it's a trippy, because if you look at it, it's got almost like, more than RS flares, right? But it's like a Jeep. It's like a Carrera from the 80s, right? But it's backdated. It's got the long hood, but the hips are really wide looking, even though they're
They're probably standard. Just Carrera or SC. It's a Carrera SC, which is wider than like a 75.
Yeah, well, it's I think it might be even wider than RS, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Do the hips lie or anything?
No, they don't lie at all.
They were lying.
That's good.
But that's a good color on that car. And then it has gold Fuchs on one side and silver on the other.
Yeah, two-faced, bro.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
More cars should do that.
Remember Carrera GT had blue center locks on one side and red on the other, and it was so you knew which side to put the wheel on.
I like it. I like it.
Kind of cool.
Race car stuff.
Kind of cool if you could have a car that was just down the line, right down the middle, you know, one side.
Oh, white, yeah. It just looks black. Really bad, like straight on.
Straight on's bad, but on side profile?
Yeah.
It's pretty what's cool, going on. Man.
I can't make up my mind. Yeah. I love both of these colors.
Exactly.
They're talking a lot about the future of cars having paint that can change color.
BMW did that one at CES.
They have one example of it, but
because you get it's all like
higher voltage
charged. Yeah,
with higher voltage you can make this happen, so it's kind of interesting.
But good cars and coffee.
Morning Mars.
Morning Mars. Mars attacks.
Marzipan or?
Marzipan.
Yeah. That was good. We'll have to look at our schedule and get one on the books for next month.
Yep.
It's only going to get, you know, we're getting into spring weather here.
Uh-huh. One thing I did notice is that Warren took the 2022 BMW M240i
X-Drive Coupe.
X-Drive Coupe to Morning Motors, and he parked it. Ben Roger parked next to him in his Mustang GT350R, and the GT350R did not look big. I know, that was a little nasally. It was the 2 Series, a big boy.
They just keep getting bigger.
Yeah. I remember one time I was parked next to Ben, the 944 was parked next to him, and it like made the 944 look like a Mini Cooper.
Totally.
Like an original Mini Cooper. Yep. And then like seeing the BMW, you're like, oh, okay. They're like kind of the same size car. And Mustangs, you think of them, they're big, you know?
Definitely. I mean, those things are getting big. We get right into it. But our press car this week, yeah, like Lane said. M240i Coupe.
X-Drive.
I guess you have to add the X-Drive. Are they all X-Drive?
Yeah, the 240s are. I left it out and someone called me out. I'm like, it's obvious. It's the only one.
But the coupe and sedan is a huge difference, right?
They're all coupes.
I wonder if it's...
No, I know. Well, but you can get a... Can you get an M240i coupe?
No.
Or a sedan, I mean?
No, you can't get 2 Series in coupe.
Yes,
They're all coupes, sorry.
But you can get...
It's called a Grand Coupe. So there's a four-door...
Wait, now there's a two-door Grand Coupe?
There's a four-door 2 Series is what he's asking.
No, that's a 1 Series.
It's a 2 Series. No, it's a 2 Series.
But the 1 Series is front-wheel drive.
It doesn't exist. So it's there's a 2 Series...
No, I thought the new one...
There's a 2 Series that's four doors,
and that's the front wheel drive Mini Cooper base.
Yes, there's a front wheel drive.
And they're still calling it a 2 Series.
Yes.
I have a 2 Series. You have to be very specific.
But I thought I thought even numbers were
exactly, dude. It's all fucked
even
up.
Numbers coupes.
No, the 2 Series sedan looks like a Corolla, and it is front wheel drive.
I saw one the other day.
Yeah, I did too.
And it was kind of lifted. It was like more of a hat,
like a
hatch stance or something.
Like
I don't
a
even
top
know.
Hat.
So
I don't know what's happening.
Backwards right baseball now. Cap. Yeah. So what is the length? What is the length of an M240i and the length of a GT350R?
Coupe.
Yeah, both coupes.
I don't know lengths of cars.
Overall length.
Yeah.
185 inches.
Oh, actually, what do you think the difference is? Because they're not the same.
Oh, I think the Mustang is longer.
I think it's longer.
3
yeah.
inches.
Yeah. I think it's probably longer by like 9 inches or something.
That's a good guess. Yeah, it's 10 inches longer. Yeah. So the Mustang's
I'm not looking at length, by the way. I'm looking at them next to each other and the girth, like how tall they are.
It's the belt line and the front of the M240 is like, it's bulbous,
the
right?
Tallest.
It looks like it was inflated.
So
like,
tall.
It's so fucking
that
weird.
Hood, the windshield to the front of the car is almost like a razor straight.
Yep. It's got a very weird hood bulge.
Yeah.
Thing. It's very square.
Yeah. So I always think that BMW had a good thing going with these designs. They had like good smooth lines and they were subtle, and they've just keep going more to this like futuristic Japanese styling. I don't know what they're aiming for. They're like trying to out tech Lexus or something.
Well, don't you feel like the first 1 Series was like goofy looking?
Yeah.
And especially the scalloping on the side.
Yeah.
And then the 2 Series, when it was launched, it was like, oh, this is like a good looking 1 Series.
You guys did it.
You perfected.
Yeah.
You made the 1 Series a way better looking car with this 2 Series. And now they went and said, haha. Screw you. Like, you think so? Yeah, right.
It's so weird.
We're going to add some big old triangles to the front of this car.
And the stretched grills. It's like they're not huge tall. They're really wide.
Yeah, they're wide.
And the chunkiness of all the styling is so heavy-handed. It just is very weird to me.
It's not cohesive.
Right.
No.
Like, the fender flares on their own are kind of cool, but they're fake fender flares. They, like, make you look like it's fender flares.
But if you look down the side of it,
it looks kind of cool. It has these, almost hips. Like 944-esque haunches, or M3, E30 M3. Yeah. But that doesn't go along with any of the other styling, so it's very odd.
Yeah.
And then you were saying the side profile was like your favorite angle, and And I kind of agree, but then it actually has some weirdness going on.
But it's
on
only because
there,
the other angles are so bad.
Yeah. That's it's you have to be apologetic about the whole
the
thing.
Front
right? It's like
quarter
the only
angle
way.
Is horrible.
And then the side yeah. skirts are shiny black.
What is with this piano plastic?
Like piano black plastic.
What are we
like
doing?
Painted with orange peel like crazy.
Come on.
But why would you want to make the car visually look tall?
I think it's to try to have an
because there's so much, it's so big on the side, and you have such small little gun slit windows
yeah.
or whatever.
You're trying to like, yeah, make it look as if that's
it's slimmer,
a
looking,
negative
right?
space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
But then it does look like an angle, and then it looks kind of like it's sitting.
I know.
Too high.
Yeah.
It's definitely super funky looking.
The taillights are weird.
I can't get
stick
into
out
the body.
Like,
yeah.
6 inches.
Like an old RAV4 or something. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I can't get down with it looks wise. I was very impressed by the ride for a new M ish BMW.
The ride's good.
Like
ride's really
ride's
good.
Great. It handles really
it's
well.
Plenty quick.
Yeah. It's
oh
very
God, fast.
Fast. Yeah. It's
dude.
Very fast. And like, it's Ferrari F40 fast. Yeah. It's like, it's
so
crazy fast, but like the
it's
yeah, but it's
996 turbo fast, dude. It's like
it's, well, it's like quite it's like mid threes to 60, right?
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, it's crazy.
So is no manual for a 2 series unless you go with an M2.
That's what yeah. I read. Yeah,
that's
so,
what I heard too.
Yeah, so this is an M240i.
This is an automatic.
Always X Drive as of now. There's
so it's
rumors
an M
of
not
a rear wheel drive.
Yeah, M not
it's an
M.
M not M. It's rear biased all wheel drive system. It's totally non intrusive.
All wheel drive is great.
You don't notice it at all until you stomp on it, like either early on a corner or getting out of corners.
I didn't go, oh, screw this. It's like plowing.
Yeah,
yeah. It's yeah.
I
it's,
would love to know the weight difference between what the front, you know, all-wheel drive system adds.
So this car, I believe it's 200, it's something like 270 pounds heavier than an M2.
Okay.
Mm.
Something like that.
Yeah. And it's probably got a lot more stuff in it,
which is a lot of weight.
Yeah.
It's yeah. And it's very, I mean, and I guess it feels it right. Like in how insulated and like, and
it's quiet. It's nice.
Everything yeah. is like, and as you drive down the road, even though it's like a little coupe, it doesn't feel like.
No, it felt
it
high
feels,
quality.
Yeah, it yeah. feels solid and yep. it's heavy. It's
it does. Like the interior is like pretty good. It, I mean, we'll talk about some stuff, but it has hard buttons for a lot of stuff, which is nice. Like
yeah.
you can just get in, turn
so,
the AC
so
on, turn
with
the AC
the,
up, turn
the like fan. On this around the shifter. It's almost like
black
I don't know what
piano.
You describe
Stop.
It, but like the yeah the. The piano black's horrible, but the buttons are almost like on rockers. Did you notice that? Like it's like one, yeah. it's one piece of plastic, but they're it's not a yeah. Haptic feedback thing, but it, yeah. it like it almost yeah. like moves the whole panel as you press it, but yeah. it knows that you're pressing that button. Which mm. it's like a good execution of a cheap thing,
kind of a
like,
cheap thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Versus Cost. Like what we've been seeing recently, which is like a lot of this capacitive touch shit that sucks. Yeah. So that's like. A step in the right direction if they're trying to make things more cost effective, but but yeah, overall, I think we talked about it a little bit. It's like it feels way, it feels luxurious in how they've like isolated you from the harshness and the NVH yeah. of the car. Like, so like all the mounting points are way like softer than a real M car, and like the feedback, you have no feedback on the steering wheel.
So
at
in
all.
One
and
way, it feels you know, more expensive than. Like the M3 we drove because it isolates you a lot more, mm-hmm. but then in turn it's not as like analog feeling and as gruff as that.
Yeah,
car.
It's a very yeah. that's your trade off, right?
Yeah, which I guess makes sense, yeah. right? Because an M car is supposed to be like a GT Porsche.
It's supposed to be more raw.
Yeah, it's going to be more raw.
The other thing too is having a manual transmission
would
connect you to that
so
car
much better.
So like the M3. Feels more raw immediately because yeah. you're having to shift gears.
And it's good. This transmission is great. There's like no real complaints. I don't think
yeah.
the ZF 8 speed, but having a manual would be so delightful. and it would add so much more. Like I drove it over the hill to work the other day and it just like, it's just, I was just like, this car is too fast, dude.
It's way too fast.
And it's,
I mean,
but not even just too fast. It's just like, I wasn't having fun.
It's effortless.
And I look down on Highway 17, I'm doing 95 miles an hour. And I'm
totally
like,
effortless.
Okay.
I know. So,
and I'm yeah. not having fun doing that fast. Like,
yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
that's all, that's my point, really.
Right. Right. It's a lot of car for $58,000. And to think the type of buyers for this having F40 speed at the, just
Yeah, it's almost like I don't see a lot of people using it either. Like, no. It's just kind of like, you know,
it's just
you
to say you have
it's
it.
That you have the M on there, and it's the effortlessness, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because it's very effortless, as Lane's describing, like, which, you know, it's kind of gets you into some sketchy situations, but you know, when you have someone who's like, just doesn't want to have to floor it to get, like, you know, doesn't want the drama, doesn't want the noise. Yeah. They just want, and they want something that has the brand and the badge. Got, and
like you said, a smooth shifting transmission, all wheel drive, and turbocharged six cylinder. Like, it's a very,
it good sounds brain. Pretty good too. I don't know sounds where it's
good.
Coming
it's
from.
All piped into the audio.
I don't know where it's coming from, but it sounds pretty rad.
Sounded okay. Yeah. This car,
a lot of pops and gurgles and
But also just the growl, like the grunt, like redlining it and like in hitting the gears. Like, it sounds great. Like, it's not overly obnoxious. It sounds nice. Like,
This car had the most, the largest difference between Eco or Comfort.
Oh yeah.
And
Sport.
Sport Plus.
It was all in the transmission, though.
Steering too, though.
Oh.
Dude, I don't know if you've noticed it. Have you driven it like hard in Eco or Comfort? The steering is so much looser and there's better? No feedback. No, it's way worse.
It didn't
worse.
Have feedback anywhere.
This is like scary.
But it
like,
didn't have any
you
feedback.
You go into a turn thinking, if you go from one mode to the other, is a big discrepancy. So you should try it.
Like, I felt like tight road. These variable racks are so annoying. Too.
Oh, as they like, weighed up and
you
all that.
You don't know, like, you're like expecting something and then you're like, oh, now it doesn't have this quick turning ratio and now it does. I was just noticing, like, going over 17, like, you go into a turn and you don't just like a nice steering rack, like, say your E30 or my 944 or whatever.
Yeah.
Just a normal whatever steering rack, not E-Pass. Like, you kind of just turn and you set it and you're kind of like in the turn in minor corrections. This thing felt like you had to move it a lot, like all over the place. Hmm. And it didn't really like settle. Hmm. It just...
It's like trying to figure out how much to boost it and like all that.
And then also you have no feel of what the front end is
doing. Not at all.
It's not like the front end's like it's sticking so and you're like feeling what it's doing. Yeah. You're like video game style just moving the wheel around and hoping to get through the turn.
So, Art, since you have it, try going between the two modes on a twisty road.
Yeah, I didn't push it in comfort, like, but I know what you're saying. Like, it's
the steering changes so much. It's like almost
the weight is scary. It almost feels like the ratio itself is
Because you expect it to do the same turning radius and it isn't there.
And you have to keep turning.
Yeah. It's a much more muted feeling.
Yeah. So. It's, you know, one thing that I noticed that was like really random, but, little detail when I was, as I had the kids in the back and it has a separate climate control for the back, but the rear seats are tiny and it's a little coupe inside. You know, it's like, why would you have that control?
Another part of the 270 extra pounds.
Dude, it's like
whole other.
Why offer that?
Why offer that? It's so small in there. Like, whatever you do up front is going to impact the back, you know?
Like, give me one more nicer material up front and like take that away.
I'm 5'9" ish, you know, and like, I'm on the roof. Like, if I sit in the back, my head hits the headliner.
Yeah.
And like, that's, you know, it's totally a kid's space, you know, or a short person's, like, you know, you can carry passengers. My knees are up against the rear seat, or I'm sorry, the front seat, with me sitting behind myself with at that position.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, again, I'm not very tall, so like it's tight, but
it's a nice
thought it was really weird. Like, why would you
have that's a nice to control have, not a need to have.
Yeah. The other thing that I noticed was that the, like, I think, I don't know, we all talked about it a little bit, like, this is shit that you can control and change, but like, I hated the fucking
lane keep assist
was horrible. No, but like, the when you walk away from the car like, it locks it automatically, and like, we can change, we were able to change that, but that was so frustrating. Can you imagine like trying to take a picture of a car and you walk away from it and then the mirror,
they were talking next to the car
and they like
we were kind of like moving and it was just like,
well, how about for me at Morning Motors, I was walking around Morning Motors and I would walk by the car and it would unlock, and then as I walked away it would lock again.
Dude, and can you imagine trying to take pictures of it and the mirrors are folding and then unfolding, and
so
then
I turned that off because it had it where the mirrors would fold when it locked, so every time it would, all of a sudden your mirrors just don't work.
Is that funny? They did the fake M style mirror wing.
Yeah,
where it's detached.
And it's not detached. You know, it's not attached. Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be for wind noise, but it just is a funny choice.
Yeah, it's the M mirrors. And like the actual M2 or the M2 doesn't have those mirrors. It doesn't have the
M. They're solid mirrors.
So the one thing we have to talk about, there's two things. The one thing is the light. The light. I don't even know what to call
the
it.
The lit up door panel inserts.
Dude, it's like
M Rain. Oh, the Kirk K photo had the best comment because I posted. I was like,
yeah.
I wrote things that make you go hmm or something, and he's like, it's replicating the broken pixels on a 90s like BMW gauge yeah. cluster. You know, like
I kind of like it.
You're into it.
I'm into it. Just and I kind of want more things.
What do you like
that
about
in cars.
It? It's lit up.
It's not too obnoxious. Uh-huh. I really like the M colors. It sort of looks like a woven. It's hard to explain. If you don't know what it's made of and you just see the picture of it, it's hard to know that it's actually.
It looks
hard.
Like a little screen.
It
almost.
Looks like. Yeah. It kind of looks like Singer, like the woven,
it's
the woven,
like woven
leather.
Fiber, but it's just a plastic LED
backlit,
or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Backlit. Yeah.
I kind of like it.
It's so I little, was going to ask you. So here's. So you're out there. You're looking to buy this car. Would you check that box to have that versus just a black?
Oh, is that an option?
Yeah, it's an option. They don't all have that.
Oh, wow. So, well. No, I wouldn't.
So that's where.
Yeah, but if it came with an M package, like it's like because it's an M colored thing, I wouldn't mind it.
So here's the thing, though. I don't find it to be the worst thing ever, but I think there's better ways to make that happen.
Yeah.
And then I also think that there needs to be some kind of consistency in the materials because that material that they use there, that pattern that's there without, like even next to it, there's a diamond pattern, is not used anywhere else in the whole car.
No, no, it's some weird thing.
So it's
thing.
This odd little like piece that they just put onto the door panel in the middle. And then it has, did you guys notice in the, on the vinyl behind that area, it has these weird like, almost like triangles,
yeah,
in like indented into the.
They're like,
and then that is yeah. nowhere else.
They're embossed, yeah. Right
and
there.
Then, so those are triangles on the M. That little thing that you like, the light up part, yeah. is little like diamonds.
Yep.
And then it's it has honeycomb grills, like on the vents. So it goes from diamond to honeycomb.
Oh, it's got all the shapes.
It like I don't. There's no like. There's
throw them all at it.
There's zero consistency, and then it's like black piano on the center console, and then it's silver somewhere else.
And yeah, and then matte black for the iDrive area. That's like a flat.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's
I like the leather. I love that leather. That
yeah
that color.
Yeah, that's the color's great. Cool. It's like an oxblood almost kind of.
Nice.
It's more red.
It's like all these BMW 2002.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a good color. I mean, and I like I like, I don't know, I'm a BMW guy to a certain extent, and it's everything's very familiar. They've kept it pretty simple. Like the screen isn't huge.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, climate control's basic. Yeah,
I thought that's besides nice. The little weird details, the interior was like well.
Yeah, it's yeah, well laid out. I have a good picture of it with everything off that I'm gonna post later, so like you can see the layout's good. And iDrive works really well. It's very intuitive. Like so
I actually know. Didn't even really
yeah.
use it.
Yeah,
I used the screen. I forgot about it. I that has iDrive because it's redundant.
Yeah, you can do it on the screen.
Yeah, and I'm so used to using screens when we get in these cars that I didn't mess with iDrive. But iDrive is the best way to do it.
Smudges, so I always try to use iDrive.
Yeah, and it's also, yeah, like sometimes you don't hit it. And then, like, I was actually trying to connect with CarPlay and I kept hitting Android.
Oh, nice.
Like, you know, so you could just kind of get to it. And it's the iDrive thing is a little, I don't know, feels more ergonomic, right? Like, it works. All of it works well, though.
The last thing I have to say about it is I'm pretty bummed that BMW's gotten away from engine bays that are worth looking at.
I didn't even look.
It's just so sad. It's got a black, flat black plastic thing with six, you know, intake runners, whatever, that just representing that.
Like stamped on there.
And you can kind of look and see that there's a turbo and everything else is completely just junk. It doesn't look like anything fancy or well laid out. And we're just going to get to a point where it's just going to be one big black plastic. Yeah. The hood won't even open. Like,
well,
you have to
it's
have like,
once we go EV, it's just not EV.
Well, that for sure. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's a bummer. You look at a Euro E36 M3 and the motor is so rad.
Yeah.
And, it's only gotten worse every iteration since.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think it's a good value for like what it is. I think it's a nice car. It's,
yeah.
And it's just the aesthetics I can't get into. I feel just when I feel like I'm starting to kind of like, it's starting to grow on
same
me,
here.
I see, I'm like, I don't
know. I even feel bad for people who have to see it as a,
I know
it.
You're kind of like embarrassed.
That's what because I do think it's a great driving car. I thought the interior overall was like a nice design besides the little detail stuff, but
yep.
I like the interior color. I like the fact that they still have hard buttons. then the thing drove really well. If it had a manual, and I think my biggest thing is like, I wish they offered a four door because like, that's one of those cars I would want. I could see like, if you're just buying it as a coupe, like who's really buying that? It's like, I mean, it feels weird to say, but I feel like it's like a quote unquote girl's car.
It's like a professional woman kind of.
Yeah.
That's their target audience.
Yeah. Right? It's like, are you really going to drive? Are you going to buy that as your like weekend fun car?
No.
Or are you going to buy like a Cayman or something? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so I want it to be like my, I want it to be my, I have more money than a Golf R or VW GTI. And I want something that's like still practical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a single person's car, right? Like it's like, yeah, you can still, I mean, you can go up to ski and shit like that with a roof rack. It's got the provisions for it and it's got a nice trunk, but like you're not carrying people really, just like one other person. But yeah, it's an interesting car. Yeah, I don't know what niche that fills. It's kind of a trippy one.
Yeah, the all-wheel drive coupe is a weird, is a weird one.
Yeah, because you have the RS3 or the S3 option, but it is
a four-door.
It's four-door. Yeah, exactly.
So it's so much more practical, you yeah know?
So this or a Golf R?
I mean, it's, the price is so different.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's a Golf R top out at?
45.
That's 45? It? Dang.
Okay.
And this is 58?
50, yeah.
57?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's
I guess it doesn't have the cachet though, right? It's a BMW versus a Golf. It's like, it's, it depends on what you're trying to do.
I mean, that's the whole, that's my whole point is like, dude, I think this should be,
you know what this is?
I could see picking this over a Golf R easily. It has way more horsepower and everything.
And it's faster.
Way faster. Right? Yeah. But like it needs, if it was, it had a four-door option.
You know what this car is, dude? This is a realtor's car, isn't it? Like you carry one person.
No. You have you can't carry signs.
No, you always need extra seats. You're taking a couple.
Usually you don't really need them for like a long time.
Usually you just meet people at the location. But it's like you have to give off that impression, but you don't necessarily want a bigger car. And like, I don't know. But yeah, it's a weird one. I'm trying to make sense of it. Like, where does it fit? Yeah. Personally, I think
it's a rich girl that their parents bought it for them as a college graduation gift.
Dang. That's a nice
very specific.
Have you ever been to Palo Alto?
No,
are they
crazy?
Are they non-binary though? What if it's like,
I parked this thing in the office I'm working at and it was like probably the crappiest car in the parking lot, but it's like still nice. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so ridiculous over there. I want to take a video and send it to you because I was like parked next to a brand new 992 Turbo S, and then next to that is like G-Wagon, and Tesla, the next Tesla, that's a Macan GTS, and then Tesla, and then a Cayenne GTS, and then a, you know, like,
yeah, because they go into the dealership and it's like, what's the most stuff you have?
Exactly.
I want that.
Because the office I'm working at is next to an Equinox gym.
Oh,
the same parking lot. So all perfect. The it's all
in
the
Palo Alto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what you want.
Okay. Yeah. It's weird because like this is the norm for us, like around us, but like when you step back and you realize like, this is not normal elsewhere. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like this is like pretty, well, it's kind of a trippy situation.
Well, yeah, and it's not the norm for us. Like in the, like you have a, what, 4-year-old Cayenne, but your other car is an E30.
Yeah.
I have an I-44 and an old Lexus.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, Warren has an old Mercedes.
I'm not talking about it.
No, I know. I know.
Our environment.
I know.
Right?
I know. We're used to seeing this stuff all the time, but it's like, it's so crazy that these people, like the car they take to the gym is like a 992 Turbo S, you know, or a G, and it's not even G-Wagon. It's not like G500.
It's always
G55.
It's always
G63, like brand new ones, you know.
But it's interesting to see, because we travel.
Right? We travel.
And, you know, you go to other parts of the country, and it's like, you never see any of this shit, right?
It's like new Impalas. You're like, what? They make Impalas?
Yeah, it's like, what is it? Yeah, what is a Cascadia?
They don't.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what is a Cascadia?
Yeah, dude, I saw a Hyundai the other day that I didn't even know existed. It was a little SUV thing. Like, what the hell is that? No,
I think I saw it too.
Kona?
No.
Oh, that's it. Art's always like, is that a Buick?
Yeah, is that a Buick? And then
I think I saw it, Art. And I was like, they make that?
Yeah.
What was it?
I don't know. Palisade?
No.
No, that's a big one.
Dude, what the hell? I saw something. I don't know what the fuck it was. I didn't. There's all like, yeah, there's weird cars out there, man.
Weird.
There's weird cars.
All right, so
that exist.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I mean,
I'm thumbs up on it.
Thumbs up.
Yeah,
thumbs up.
It's not for me, but it's a
front bumper fascia update away from being way better looking.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah. I mean, and painting rocker panels and rear diffuser.
I mean, yeah, all that stuff. But I'm saying the design, you can't paint that away. That thing is horrible. Those triangles are just matching nothing.
It's so weird. It's a
paint job away from being a little more acceptable too.
You need a dark color.
It was white. Our car was pearl white.
It shows everything.
But the fact that they had the M2 or just the old 2 Series looks so good.
I know.
And then they did that. It's just mind-boggling what BMW is doing.
I know.
We thought the Bengal years were bad. This is
great. Really good driving car, though. I will say
it's a good car.
Driving car.
I wonder what.
And it felt smaller than it is. It felt nice and nimble around town.
Yep.
Felt like the right size.
Yeah. And like I said, the best view is from the driver's seat.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I imagine the M2 is going to be based on this chassis, right? They're not going to build something else. So I wonder what the front is going to look like. They're obviously different bumper, but would that be enough? Because the eyes are so.
It'll probably have just so many wings and winglets.
Inlets and all that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's salvageable. I don't know.
I don't either.
Keep
thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for trivia?
I'm triviaing.
I don't have much. I was struggling. I had a busy day and then this kind of snuck up on me for whatever reason. But I do have one thing. Where was this car assembled?
Oh, is it? It's
Spartanburg.
That's what I was gonna say.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah, it's not. It's a Euro. It's made in Germany.
No,
Mexico.
Yes.
Oh, Mexico. Wow.
San Luis Potosi, Mexico.
Interesting. Oh. I didn't know they had a factory there.
I didn't know they did, and I definitely didn't think they were building these types of cars.
No, you would think it would be that new front wheel drive one. Would be
so there. It's let me see. Major source of foreign parts content, 40% Germany, Mexico 17%, but final assembly point, Mexico. The engine was built in Austria and the transmission Germany, but putting it all together in Mexico.
Interesting.
Is the next question what else they build there? Because I'm looking it up.
No. Okay. That's all I got.
let's see. So they build minis as well.
Uh-huh. See, that makes sense.
Motorcycles.
Yeah.
And what about like the front wheel drive, like Mexico only models, like the one, whatever hatchbacks and crap like that. Is that it?
They build 3 Series there too.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, and I know we didn't mention it, but this little non-M 240i Dex drive
coupe
has 380 horsepower and a 0-60 in 3.6 seconds.
You said F40 speeds. And
yeah, that's it, right? That's right around there. Yeah, so it's traction and gearing, really, right?
Turbos. Yeah. Lots of turbos.
But yeah, it puts the power down, man.
Yeah. What tires did it have on it?
A good tire.
So it's the P0s, which are now I had to look it up after the fact because I was like, you know, these are pretty damn good. And these were also on the Alpina.
Because I think Matt and Zach had
PS4S. So these are the competitor.
Okay.
And I looked them up, and on Tire Rack's test, these were on par with PS4S, except for...
First time around the track, probably.
I know, right?
Like braking or something?
There was like a couple things, but they were pretty close.
Yeah.
Like they were actually on par. So
Pirellis are always known for kind of like falling off hard.
Okay.
But they're full summer, like tires.
Yeah.
It's not like... I know we've had some cars and you're like, and they have all seasons and stuff, you know?
Which is annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they shouldn't.
I thought it was interesting that they would offer two different tire types.
They would do Pirelli and Michelin, right?
It's like in California, competitors. Like two different press cars.
I wonder if it's tires. I mean, it could be a supplier. Like maybe it does come with one, and these were the replacement. Maybe
how many
ours,
miles does this car run?
I don't remember.
Maybe it's a wheel choice.
Replacement.
Are there different wheel types? Maybe?
Well, no. Usually, it's a summer versus winter or all season, right? Like it's
what
not
do the
a wheel thing.
Look like?
I wonder if it was one of our cars had them. Like maybe like the guys, the TST car had them replaced.
Yeah,
ours, or maybe OEM, or vice versa. You know,
yeah, maybe like this car's already gone through tires or something.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll check the mileage. I don't remember it being very high. It was like 5,000, maybe.
I don't either. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. That's a podcast. We'll see you next time. Oh, we're going to Austin this weekend for Radwood Austin. So we'll have updates from that.
Come and say hi.
Right after that.
Yeah, come out. We have plenty of space for people.
Yep. Plenty of spectator
cars
space.
Sold out, but
it's going to be a cozy affair. And then we're going to Amelia Island. So we'll have more updates on that as well. So stay tuned, and rally info coming soon.
Okay. Later.
Goodbye.